heart is just full today, just blessings. And for being a church where I feel so excited and free to be able to say that we speak the gospel with clarity in Haiti. I haven't been in a church except one of the churches in the last 10 years where they would have possibly prayed for Grace Evangelical Society. And to understand that you folks understand the need to make the gospel clear. And that's what we're trying to do in Haiti in several different ways. So I just first of all come to say thank you for the support you guys have been over the years. You've had an impact in Haiti. And first of all, through sending Mike, I know it must have been had its share of, you lost your pastor about two times a year as he went to Haiti, and you helped pay his way and all the things that you did. But you've had a huge impact on Haiti. First of all, we started with about 40 pastors with Grace Mission, spent 6 years, went through all of the Bible training that you guys are going through in English, and they were so excited to get it, and they understood the clear message of the gospel. They understood the Bible. They know how to teach the word. And they said this is the best thing Grace Mission has ever done for them. The springboard of that has gone on through another ministry, Crossing Cultures Ministry, to where hundreds of pastors in Haiti are being trained in the same thing. And that's huge. I love multiplication. I hate addition. Ugh! I love multiplication, don't you? Oh, much better. And beside that, our brother Bernadine is our leader. He just finished another class of 32 pastors in our locality who are not connected with Grace Mission Churches and gave them diplomas for going through the same course. And he just started another one. So multiplication over years and time, what a blessing and what an impact and what a fire you folks have started right here in Winkler, Manitoba, down in Haiti. Are you excited about that? Do you say amen here in Mennonite country? Ekonuk Dietrede. So, that's my first thank you. The second one is you've had an impact for people who have teeth pain and other kind of pain in their life. I have bad teeth. I have soft teeth. I break teeth. And I'll tell you, that hurts. Now, I have a little different method of getting my teeth fixed. I go to Mexico. But in Haiti, if you don't have money, how are you going to get your teeth fixed? And it hurts. And so you guys have helped Mondestin, I'm not saying his name right maybe, to have a dental clinic there. It was just there a couple of weeks ago, walked in the door, and they've got a pew like about that long, and there's eight people stuffed on that pew getting ready to go see dentist Mondestin. And he's doing a great job. Good testimony, good clean place. He does help some people who don't have any money to come and have their teeth worked on. So what a blessing. You guys have been a part of that. So again, thank you so much for that. And thank you for all the other things, prayers that you've offered for Grace Mission. Prayer, my goodness, we don't realize the impact that prayer has. We go through lumps. I mean, right now, as we speak, there's an issue with the orphanage where a guy from Cape Haitian came down there. And he has the potential of closing us down because he's just angry about something. We need prayer? We need prayer. And you never know what's going on. There's always an attack from Satan as it goes. So just in brief, I loved your Sunday school this morning about wisdom and Proverbs. About 12 years ago, I became rather discouraged about working in Haiti because we were just putting Band-Aids on all the problems, feeding people. Education, all those things are good. But I began to think about what is the core issue with Haiti that we really, really need to do so that we could actually change the country? Wouldn't that be exciting? If we could actually change the country and not just put bandages on it and say, wow, how great we are and stuff. So I began to read Proverbs because I thought the wisest man in the world should surely have some answers. And I found out some of the same things you were listening to there this morning about wisdom. The big difference in Proverbs is a wise man versus a fool. And I found out that in Haiti, as well as North America, it's a whole world of fools. Now, why are they fools? And according to the book of Proverbs, there's basically three things you need to do to be wise. You need to, one, have the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Two, you need to walk with wise men. And three, an interesting one, Proverbs 29:15 says that by love and discipline and instruction, wisdom is given to a child. So it starts when you're young in your family. So I said, let's concentrate on some of these issues as I observed Haiti. Why is it a place of fools? The family is a wreck. Men are not in their homes. Men are out having sex with everybody else in the community. Men are not protecting their children from abuse. They're probably abusing their children. They're not providing for their children because they're too interested in themselves and their own pleasures. And they think that the woman in their house is less equal than them. I mean, I was just in a conference a couple of weeks ago where one woman said, I said, what do you see going on in the home? How are the men treating the women? She says, they treat us like children. They treat us like dirt. And they believe that we're less equal. First Peter 3:7 says that the man should honor the wife and treat her as an equal vessel for the grace of life is equal from God to the woman and God to the man. It's the same. Woo! Women, do you like that? And this woman, she said, this is the best conference I have ever been to. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. I've never heard anybody speak on this. If we're ever going to help Haiti and North America, we got to do something about the home, and it starts with who? M-A-N. Me, you, men, right? I got to go home, and I got to be a man. I got to love my wife. I've got to be honest. I got to care about her more than I care about me. And for us proud old honcho guys, that's hard to do sometimes. Well, I had the daring thing I did one time years ago when I lived in Canada. I told my wife, we were driving down the road going home from Brandon, and I said, tell me, what am I doing wrong? Oh, baby, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Well, anyway, I won't go on there. I could tell you a whole lot more than that. So that was one of the things. Then we saw the gospel is corrupted in Haiti. It's terrible. Guys, you don't know. And I'm driving down the road coming here this morning praying, and I'm looking at all the churches and I'm going, and I'm listening on the radio to a guy talk about the waters of life and getting eternal life through the waters. And then I'm seeing church after church where I'm wondering, what are they hearing about how to go to heaven? One of the best things I have that I possess in my life is the assurance of eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven. I never knew that as a kid. As a kid, I grew up in a home where the gospel was given, but it was unclear. And I heard Ephesians 2:8-9 like this. Now, be careful. For by grace are you saved if you change. You can't do it all with God. You've got to do something too, and we'll call it a gift. So it's part you and part God so that we can boast a little bit. You like that version? That's how I heard the gospel. I believed in Christ as my Savior when I was 9, but if you asked me when I was 15 if I was going to heaven or not, I would say this: I'm going to hell if I don't change. And so I concluded I was going to hell, so I guess how I lived. Like, I don't swear in church, right? You know what? Somebody, when I was 19, gave me the clear gospel. Wasn't whether I changed, not whether I kept on doing good, but I was saved forever for sure. The one time when I had believed that Jesus died for me when I was age 9, I just didn't know it. And nobody ever told me I could know it. I went to a church for all my teenage years. Nobody ever got up and said, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven because I have done one thing and believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Never heard that. And I'll bet you've heard that here how many times. You should be thankful. You should not take for granted what you have here. We need to duplicate this thousands and thousands of times because this is the clear, true message of the gospel. And when it's perverted and unclear, it hurts people. It does. It hurts people. It's not just an argument about doctrine. I can tell you my life was changed when I understood the gospel clearly. And in Haiti, I'm telling you, you talk about unclear. Just a quick story. 2 weeks ago, I was in a conference with our guys. We're doing conferences where we're going out and teaching leaders, trying again to multiply. We're having a conference where we give the gospel clearly and challenge that. We give a message on family and home and the need for men to be leaders in the home. And then we give a challenge on leaders to be servant leaders and have character. You can't imagine how important that is in Haiti. Just look at the mess it's in and think about how the leaders are corrupting everything. Boom, boom, boom. And you wonder why Haiti's a mess. Those three things we concentrate on. When it came to the gospel, our guy stood up, gave a clear gospel. Guy in the back stood up. I have a question. And they're always, you know, quite puffed up about it. And he asked the question about Romans 10:9. I'm not sure exactly what it was. And then our guy gave an answer. And it was like a clear message. And suddenly there was an eruption. See, in Haiti, they don't like, oh, I don't get it. Okay, let's wait and see if somebody else knows something. When that guy stood up and that answer was given, it was like an explosion of argument. It was an argument from there to there. And it was like massive. I said, whoa, what are we going to do now? And so I said, well, I guess I'll have to intervene because I'm white and I'm big, you know. So I got up and I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Titor helped me. Calm down, calm down. Took about 3 minutes for everybody to. I said, you have a choice to make. Is salvation by works? Is salvation by faith alone? Or is salvation by faith and works? What do you believe? I shouldn't have done that. But again, it was a massive eruption of sound and answers. And you know what the most sounds that I heard? I heard one here say, by faith alone. But the massive numbers, faith and works, faith and works, faith and works, faith and works. Is that a clear message? Will that please the Lord? Will that get the job done? Will that help people to understand where they're at clearly with God so they can go on and serve Him and have the power of Christ in them to live a Christian life like God wants them to? It's a challenge. So that's something that we're doing. The pastors understand this. We're now able to go out and impact. We've impacted over 200 leaders, and we're working on printing a book that will have the message in a clear way and have a chance for people to understand it by reading and taking it home and studying it for themselves. So it's a great opportunity. Well, that's all the time I want to take, but I do have a video just of the whole message. And just again to say thank you for your support for the mission over the years. We don't, get up here very often, but I always, always remember this church. And I always remember where you stand. I will, like in Haiti, they say, I not forget you. I say that to you, I not forget you. I don't get a chance to go to too many churches like this, and I not forget you. And God's not forgetting you either, and that's more important. Thanks. Go ahead and spend this week.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm 139. I'm going to certainly give you men an opportunity to share this morning as well. And as you're turning to the passage, Eugene mentioned the importance of us praying for the work there. He can't possibly share all the burdens that he has for the work there. And, he tries, of course, to not carry that, but it's a privilege to actually carry it. And Eugene and Marcia just need our ongoing support and prayer. It's great to hear highlights. It's really great. But with every highlight, there's a big puddle of mud. There's a lot of people who are just need ongoing prayer support, love. They need to have some very particular conversations. And of course, you know that you can't just sort of win the trust of people in a conversation, it takes time. And so Eugene's been faithful in just walking with the people of Mexico and Haiti. And just a privilege to be a partner with him in that ministry. Eugene, and Jen, we rejoice with the fact that you're seeking the Lord's guidance.